welcome to the second part of this International Airport Review podcast series on San Francisco International Airport sustainability initiatives. In part one, our speakers, Erin Cook, SFO's Sustainability Director, and Courtney Carew, the airport's net zero lead, spoke about the support SFO were giving to the development of green fuels like sustainable aviation fuels and hydrogen. In part two, we will be addressing the steps SFO needs to make to better control their pollutants while getting an insight into some of their social responsibility initiatives with the local community. Remember to subscribe to International Airport Review's podcast channel to be notified of all future episodes. So moving on, I'd like to discuss some of SFO's greenhouse emissions inventory. So the report I mentioned just now, it details the reductions and increase of scope 1, 2, and 3 emissions from 1990 to 2022. So there are areas where SFO have reduced scope 1 emissions on, but unfortunately areas where they've also increased their pollution on as well. So there was a 23% year-on-year decrease in non-central plant natural gas emissions and an impressive 91% year-on-year decrease of fugitive refringement emissions. At the same time, however, there was also a year-on-year increase of 91% of generator fuel emissions and a 72% year-on-year increase of emissions in wastewater treatment during this period. So could you just explain to our audience why this has happened and what the airport is doing to best control these pollutants?
Yeah, that's a great question. So like most airports, SFO was hit hard by the pandemic. Our passenger levels significantly decreased. And so those year-over-year emission increases that you mentioned are primarily from passenger levels returning to near pre-pandemic levels, but they still are on par with pre-pandemic emission levels. So we are looking at how we can reduce those. I think for our generators, about 4 or 5 years ago, we switched from petrodiesel to renewable diesel to fuel our generators. And in conjunction with Stanford graduate class, we took a look at maybe evaluating the use of fuel cell or battery generators for backup purposes in the future. And so I think that's something that we definitely want to consider, but also ensuring that we have those as they are mission critical. And then like Erin mentioned, in terms of wastewater treatment, we are looking at an advanced water treatment plant to support recycled water initiatives. But we do recognize that these are two of our scope one emissions that might be a little bit more difficult to decarbonize. And so we recognize that we may have to sequester emissions on site, but looking at how we can reduce those as much as possible. So as much as we are aiming for, you know, true zero, we acknowledge that there may be some residual emissions that we will need to sequester on site.
Certainly understood. And I also recognize that it's difficult to handle scope 2 and 3 emissions, which aren't really under the direct control of the airport. But these areas, according to the report, also have the highest yearly increase. So for instance, aircraft emissions had a year-on-year 74% increase, tenant employee commute 155% year-on-year increase, and interestingly, other had a 392% increase. How are you working with your partners to incentivize them to reduce their emissions? And could you also explain a bit more what this other category includes?
That's a great question. So just wanting to restate that our scope 2 emissions fortunately have been zero since 2012. So those have been handled. Scope 3 is definitely a hard area to tackle, as most people know. That is the majority of our emissions. Over 99% of our emissions are scope 3. And so we're really focused on how we can work with our stakeholders to reduce those emissions. For some kind of background context, SFO participates in the Airport Carbon Accreditation Program, also known as ACA, which is created by Airport Council International. And this program sets standards and guidelines for calculating carbon dioxide emissions, in addition to verifying through an independent auditing process and recognizing carbon management across 4 levels of certification at airports. So we were originally credited at level 3 optimization in July of 2016. And in 2022, we upgraded to level 4, which is transformation, becoming the first large hub airport in North America to achieve this level. But part of our upgrade to level 4 included a broadened scope of scope 3 emissions. So previously, we were only accounting for the LTO cycle of our aircraft, whereas when we upgraded to level 4, we now have to include full flight emissions, which is why aircraft significantly increased. And that also affected our other category. So we began including emissions for construction, de-icing. And so these kind of all impacted our other category as we achieved that level four accreditation. And kind of as we move through ACA and refine our methodology, we're always looking at new areas to include to see where we can improve our data and also make sure that we're accurately capturing all of our emissions on campus. But as part of our work with our stakeholders to reduce our emissions, Erin mentioned SAF is a big one. SFO is leading the world's largest initiative to develop and deploy SAF at an airport. We are also working with our airlines and ground handlers to support electric ground support equipment. And so this year, as part of our upgrade to level four, we are creating an EGSE working group that aims to increase airfield charging infrastructure to support ground handler and airline electrification goals. SFO also adopted a lower emissions via sustainable solutions or SFO-less transportation policy that supports and promotes transit to, from, and within the airport. So trying to increase use of public transit and decrease single occupancy vehicle rides. They are single occupancy, trying to shift those towards electric and making sure we're providing the infrastructure to support that. Like I mentioned also, we have a ZEV readiness roadmap, which outlines our goals for increasing charging infrastructure on campus. We're aiming to deploy 2,000 chargers across the campus in the near term for passenger and employee use, which would be electrifying about 10% of our parking stalls. And we're also just released an RFP to install DC fast chargers on campus, first for transportation network companies such as Uber and Lyft, but then also looking at maybe expanding in the future for passenger and public use. And then also, we have a zero waste lead, and she is working hard along with our tenants to support eliminating the use of plastic foodware and moving to fully compostable materials. And we're also looking at embodied emissions in material use and construction operations to reduce those as well.
So it seems that you're certainly aware of the emissions that you're polluting, the SFO are polluting, but there are also steps that you're making to mitigate some of those emissions. So that's good to hear. So SFO launched carbon reporting, which I think is primarily the responsibility sort of fall under your role, Courtney. So they launched carbon reporting to monitor emissions. So could you explain, I guess, how carbon reporting kind of goes? How exactly are you able to report on emissions that you can't really necessarily see, and how SFO are doing in reaching some of these goals?
That's a great question. So every year we do a greenhouse gas emissions inventory going back to 2011. And so we have some direct sources of data looking at our utilities. We collect that. And this is really a group effort. We kind of work with all of our partners within the airport and also external for scope 3 to collect that data. And so always appreciative of their partnership in providing that data so that we can make sure we're transparently and accurately reporting our emissions. And so as of last year, we've reduced our scope 1 and 2 emissions by 41% from our 1990 baseline, aiming at net zero by 2030. Yeah, so that's kind of an overview of that. Right now, we're looking at just sector-based emissions, but in the future, maybe considering consumption-based emissions in line with best reporting practices.
Thank you.
I can just maybe add a little bit to that. So I think as an airport that is always looking to be, cutting edge and help, drive our sector towards best in practice, particularly as it relates to emissions reporting and other all sorts of sustainability initiatives, just to that degree that Courtney mentioned, we are already really focusing incredibly intensely on embodied carbon and the materials that we both consume in our buildings, but also the consumables that we allow our passengers to take advantage of in our food and beverage concessionaires and retail environments. And so we are really trying to figure out how to do a better job calculating that. We are doing that actually on our construction projects already, but that will really flow into some of the services that we're going to be offering for our tenants so they can get a better sense of what the carbon intensity of their supply chain looks like. And I think better align us with, just again, industry standards as it relates to the full scopes of carbon emissions and carbon intensity of our campus. So not just what emissions we're outputting, but what emissions we are intaking through production, transportation, and ultimately consumption and end of life.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Moving on to sort of your social responsibility that the airport's doing, what has been the general attitude by your passengers regarding SFO's The Good Traveler program?
Yes. I think SFO itself has been really inspired by the leadership of San Diego and other airports to think about how we can team up and do good on behalf of our sector instead of working in silos and individually to create new initiatives and new programs. So the Good Traveler has been incredibly inspiring in that way and its ability to really pull together airports so that we have the collective power to purchase offsets that can be cost effective and can certainly be aligned with what industry standards are in terms of meeting carbon reductions and carbon targets on our airport. I will say the airport SFO itself overall is focused on net zero, not carbon neutrality. So we ourselves have not been buying carbon offsets, but knowing that our traveling public is incredibly environmentally motivated, SFO or San Francisco and the Bay Area was really home to the environmental movement as early as the 60s and 70s and looking to safeguard natural resources and our incredible Bay Area ecosystems. Those people still live here today, and those people have children and new generations that are still incredibly motivated to do good for the environment and feel less comfortable doing so when they're flying. And so we want to make sure that SFO, number one, the flights that are out of SFO are less carbon intensive by using things like SAF and making sure that we have really good, occupancy on our aircraft that are leaving and departing. But on top of that, we want to give people a product that they can be comfortable with and they know is credible when they're purchasing offset. So the Good Traveler really does have that level of rigor. And when we have done really large active campaigns, so we have advertisements in our AirTrain terminals, we have information displays that motivate people to take advantage of the Good Traveler. Some of our airlines previously had joined the Good Traveler. I think some are contemplating whether or not they should offer their own product or come back. When we actually even had it on our web landing page for when folks were logging in, we really saw a peak. So it's just about getting the information in front of people, knowing, letting them know it's an option. So they're not overwhelmed by the fact that there are a lot of carbon offset products on the market. This one, we just hope they can be more encouraged to purchase because it is directly benefiting the aviation sector.
Speaking of sort of community relations, it's clear that the airport values its relationship to the local people, whether that be by reducing energy uses during California droughts and preserving that energy for the local state, or by supporting local businesses. SFO definitely places an importance on community relations. So could you just give us a bit of an insight into this relationship and if there are any new community initiatives happening right now?
Yeah, I mean, so obviously we are surrounded by actually multiple communities, multiple counties, the city and county of San Francisco, and then San Mateo County, the cities of Millbrae and Burlingame in South San Francisco. And we do all that we can to really be a good neighbor. That was really, part of our work, obviously, in working on multi-agency efforts. So things like our climate adaptation program and resilience program to ensure that SFO is mitigating really what are going to be climate implications of sea level rise to protect and safeguard the bay, doing initiatives and programs like plane spotting. So not passengers, employees, and also the public beyond us can come to our campus and just enjoy the magic of aviation. And then obviously doing things like providing mutual aid. We are responsive and can serve San Mateo County and the city and county of San Francisco during hazard or crisis events like COVID-19. And then beyond that, really just trying to motivate and encourage people to move from really a passive place and focus on sustainability to an active place. So we historically, and I think this has been kind of the trend in ecotourism and other things more broadly, where, historically, we would take care of sustainability on your behalf. We don't want to burden your adventure, your travel journey with anything that relates to you taking an action or having to honestly have awareness around anything outside of just getting to your gate and getting on a plane or getting to your final destination. But SFO is really looking to transform that as we grow from 58 million passengers to 71 million passengers by giving people a course to take action for their planet and for sustainability. So that's everything from now, you know, you can't buy a plastic water bottle, but you can up level and refill your beverage container at one of our refill stations. You can choose to make investments in sustainable aviation fuel by teaming up with our airlines and buying through their direct purchasing program. So we're starting to really market and inventory what will be that call to action to motivate people to get more engaged, and then doing outreach with our local communities to help them be aware of, again, what SFO is doing to drive down its impact, but where they can also get more involved in decarbonizing aviation.
Sure. Thank you. And it certainly seems that you're sort of empowering the passenger and your local communities to do better and to contribute more to SFO sustainability goals. So that's great. And so could you tell us a bit about the Green Business Program and how it works with your tenants and what's been the outcome so far?
Yeah, so SFO launched our Green Business Program. So I should say there is a statewide California Green Business Program that I was lucky enough to work on in a city that I led their sustainability work previously to coming to SFO, and just saw it as this incredible tool, a program where SFO historically has done a brilliant job working on embedding sustainability in its base building. So building these, you know, again, you know, magical, incredibly enthralling, environmentally oriented environments in our terminals. However, those base buildings kind of lost their sustainability gusto as we got within our terminal, our tenant environments, because we didn't have the same standards in place for them to build and go through their tenant improvement process in a way that met our zero net energy, zero waste, zero carbon, and zero water targets. So a great way to institutionalize this was leveraging this California Green Business Program to really help not only think about the construction process, but also how our businesses and our tenants could operationalize sustainability across their operations and across the life of sometimes 5 to 10 year leases of working within SFO. So this program focuses, again, energy, water, waste, materials, pollution prevention. It really hits an incredibly robust target of doing so. Prior to COVID, we have about 180 concessionaires, 50 airlines. At the time, we had about 40 businesses certified through the program, but we are looking to up our game, particularly as we are activating new terminals. SFO just activated a new terminal that was well, fit well, and LEED certified. So the base building is the best in practice of any airport environment in the world. We look to and have certified all of those tenants that are now coming into that new Terminal One space. So are really proud in doing that. And also, I think, in thinking through the relationship and our partnership with those tenants. So I should have mentioned on our last question that SFO, I think our partnership with the community is that we are the largest employer in the Bay Area. So we have an incredible business and career center that helps people find a better quality of life as part of their professional journey in a great job at the airport, one of the highest paid of any of its like service in the region. And so as we're bringing those people in, we are also training them really to be sustainability ambassadors on our campus through the Green Business Program. And then equally learning from them as we go. And we have lots of different businesses on different ends of the spectrum, folks like Napa Farms that operate in our terminals that have taught us about, you know, what using hormone-free and truly organic products can mean for the health of the human body and our passengers. And so we've actually incorporated a lot of their recommendations into a sustainable food and beverage policy that we have that we launched in 2012 when we opened Terminal 2. And likewise, we have really, you know, just incredibly inspired and, you know, maybe strange bedfellows, I guess I would say, in folks like Burger King. So one would assume that a Burger King may be a difficult champion to convert to using, say, fiber-based foodware or to eliminating plastics. However, Burger King set direct staff at the corporate level to work with our team to figure out how they eliminate plastic straws, how they get away from single-use disposable condiments. And we're really tried and true in their practice at solving for this, number one, at SFO, but now throughout their supply chain. So in that way, I think we can be proud of our Green Business Program. We can be proud of our incredible business partners. And also, I should say, our revenue development and our aviation management team at SFO. I mean, they are the strongest sustainability champions that we have. Those are the boots on the ground folks that are out there working with our businesses, telling them about our initiatives, and really are doing this work on the ground, but also in their own homes. I think we are always just so inspired to hear the personal connection to sustainability and the environment that threads through these individuals and why they want to push us to go further and to certainly be effective and impactful in all of our work.
Yeah, that's really impressive. I especially enjoy hearing that Burger King sort of implemented their policy from like a sea level. It's not like top down, not down up, which is, yeah, it's impressive to hear that.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so that brings me to my final question. So SFO were awarded and shortlisted in the Airport Honor Awards, which is our awards, for the Sustainable Airport Award Strategy, Culture and Ethos category. So how does SFO foster a culture and ethos of sustainability within their workforce? I think you were just sort of touching upon that just now.
One of my favorite quotes of all time was by Van Jones, who was talking about how sustainability has to be from the top down, the bottom up, and the inside out. I don't think I could say it any better than that. But I also feel like that is exactly the way that SFO operates. So I think I've given a lot of different examples that maybe are feel like they're the inside out, but they really either started at the top or they started at the bottom. And so I think, you know, the way that we've been able to do this, maybe from a top-down perspective, has been really redesigning our mission statement, again, to focus on people and planet. As a sustainability professional for my entire career, well over 20 years, never thought that I would work for an organization that changed its mission statement to have those two words in it. So I think that really drives the purpose of our organization to, and I think just inspire so many individuals on the campus that, like, at the end of the day, you've got to loop back to that mission statement. And if you are implementing a project or a policy or an initiative or hiring someone and they don't align with that, that's not the direction that you're going to go. So I think starting at that top level is huge. I think that is also incredibly inspired by our airport director. He is probably the strongest environmental ambassador advocate I've ever had the honor to work for, always pushing us to go further and saying, what's next? What's next? What's next? And so I think just having someone who is encouraging and inspired himself. We did actually an interview with him recently where he showed us just all of the incredible passive design strategies of his own home. So, I mean, hearing from your leader about the way he's implemented it in his own life and how it drives his pursuit of everything from his home to the work that he does is so inspiring. And then I think bottom up, not that I would call anyone at the bottom of our organization, but I think this is more of like the roots and boots on the ground. You know, we have folks like our custodians that are source separating materials and have made just tons of changes in ensuring that we know what goes where and that our materials at the end of the day are sorted so we can hit our zero waste targets. Folks like electricians that are out on the ground that are learning how to and are incredibly adept at resolving issues as it relates to electric vehicle charging stations, EGSE chargers, challenges with our airlines using PCR. They're lifting these things up and telling us that it's not working and they need it to because they want to help us hit our net zero energy goals. And then just lastly, just having incredibly inspired folks like our revenue development director, Cheryl Nashir, who's asking us, like, when are reusables coming? You know, it's not good enough that we are using fiber-based foodware. I want to be the first airport to have reusables on our campus. So it is here and we are endurant because of it. I think these are the roles and the jobs that inspire people. When we can connect to something that does good and can really deliver a mission and a purpose, it makes people wake up in the morning. It makes people show up for work and it makes people want to really drive the change that we know we need in our world. So I'd like to say that those are the things that SFO has done through strategic planning, through mission statements, through operationalizing lots of projects. We have this $11 billion capital program that's going to help us meet our goals right now. It's like the proof is in the pudding and the pudding is incredibly green and rich here at SFO.
That's a good simile to end it on. So just sort of to understand it, it's about good leadership, supporting, you know, your workers who need it and just having a good team, which I think, yeah, it's like three core values, four, I think, as well. You mentioned rooting back to your two sustainability values. So it's having those values that kind of foster this workforce. Well, thank you both so much, Erin and Courtney, for your time today and for such an insightful conversation into SFO sustainability strategies. I've had a wonderful time talking to you and thank you again.
You too. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Great to chat.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this International Airport Review podcast. Remember to subscribe to the magazine and podcast channel to be notified every time a new episode is posted. Make sure you come back soon to hear our next guest.